seat. Praise the Lord. You all happy today? Good. I'm happy too. Well, you can all sit down. Find yourself a very good place. Stretch your legs. Open your eyes. Keep your ears open, wide. And we pray the Lord will speak to us. I'm just your brother. And I'm happy to be your brother. I feel very comfortable here. Almost like you come home. And we're glad for his presence. The opportunity to share the word of God. And of course, when we read the scriptures, I believe the Lord starts speaking to us. And through the Bible, we learn to see how God operates. We will never figure out God. He is much more than what we will ever be able to figure out. If we use all eternity, he will still be more. Sometimes when you read 1,500 pages, 10, 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, and you say, well, how much more can I get out of this? But really, basically the Bible is a book of testimonies, how that people experienced the Lord and how that he revealed his presence for them so that they could have knowledge about him. And he will only open up as much as we can comprehend. Right? Remember when Israel was to go into the promised land, he said, I will not give the land wide open for you, but I will let you take it step by step, so that what you really conquer, that's the ground you're going to have. And in a similar way, in a spiritual sense, the Bible, which is a wide open book, but to our mind, we might not have the same level of understanding. A newborn baby in the Lord will enjoy the Bible, the words, whatever Jesus or the disciples discovered, but they will not understand everything and may not understand why it is written the way it is written. Many people say the Bible is really written by men. Of course it is. But when you look in Timothy, it is written by men, inspired by the Holy Ghost. God told them what to write. Sometimes when I'm writing things, we have Facebook, right? And you sit down and you want to say something. And before you start, you may not know exactly what you're going to write. But you pray and then you start writing. And then suddenly thoughts keeps coming. And a way of expression comes. Sometimes you are amazed yourself. Did I figure that out? I did not. I got big help. The Lord comes and he helps you to give out something that can be educating, uplifting, and building up other people. That's what we're supposed to. And also here tonight, we're gathered together to be built up in the faith. Last night, we took a little starting point, building up a little thought that when I started out for the Lord, I started hearing about the message of the Lord through the prophet in 1972-1973. And when I started reading messages and started hearing what people said about it, I heard a lot of different things. And sometimes if things don't really fit together, then some people say, it ain't worth even trying. Right? They just put it aside and they walk on. But in my mind and in my heart, I said, if this is truly God, then there must be a good way of understanding, a balanced way, so that you don't come across things that will be an object of discussion only, because people have a tendency to debate, and you cannot really debate the word. You can show what you have seen, and that's it. But what you have seen can be mingled with your own understanding. Remember, when you see things, you say, oh, that's probably this. And then the probably, you can make it into the will of God without being the will of God. Right? So therefore, we always need to stay humble and say, Lord, am I looking at this the right way? And I heard a lot of expressions on Revelation 10:7 that we started on last night. And the word angel, we mentioned that last night also. I can tell you, or people have said to me, and I can say to some people also, you're an angel, right? That's an expression. But we're not talking about it in terms that you're an angel of God. I hope you understand that. So, yeah. Okay, like this? Or understand? All right, I may make too much extra sound here. Better now? Okay. Sometimes they want me to hold the mic and other times not. That's all right. So when I look in the expression, angel, and when William Branham was bringing the message, and the people started hearing unusual things, more than what they normally got out of the Bible, because the man had visitations from the Lord. And one of the great ones that I mentioned last night was the incidents in 1933, where he was standing at the river of, not Jordan, but Ohio, in the state of Indiana, USA. And he was baptizing, and there were 500 people baptized. You'll say, that's a great number. But remember now, in the prison here, up around San Fernando, there were 230 people baptized in just one afternoon or one day. So 500 is very much possible, right? So I praise the Lord for baptize, that people are baptized in great numbers. But when he baptized, and as the testimony goes, when he came to number 17, the one that was going to be baptized, number 17, suddenly there was an appearance in heaven, and an angel of the Lord came down. Some people, they saw something about Brother Branham. Other people heard. And when we read the story of Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, some people saw a light. Other people heard a voice. Paul saw a light and he heard a voice. You have the story of Jesus Christ, right? When he was testifying in St. John, then there was a voice who spoke, and it was really God verifying Jesus' ministry. And people said, I heard it thundering. And others said, there was a voice. So people experience things differently. And I also mentioned about a Norwegian brother last night who went down by the river of Ohio in Jeffersonville and was knocking on every door possible to hear a report from people that lived in that area at that time. But of course, he did not do that in 1933. He did that in around 1967, 68, 69. So it's more than 30 years ago. And he couldn't find anyone who had been there by the river and heard anything at all. So he got kind of disappointed. And when he finally found one person that could state and testify that that person was where the baptism was going on, that person said, I didn't see or I didn't hear anything. And of course, the Norwegian brother got disappointed, but he got kind of satisfied because he had doubts. And he was out there to satisfy his doubts. Right? Why are we here tonight? Are we here to experience or satisfy doubts? Right? If you come in to criticize, you'll probably find something to criticize. But if you come to experience the Lord, He will show up and He'll satisfy your inner makeup. So therefore, it has to do with the insight of how we approach things and also the scriptures. We can be very technical with scriptures. But remember, when the Lord started blessing people, He didn't bless them because they were very technical. The disciples who came down to John the Baptist, and they heard that he had now seen the Messiah. They were just ordinary men. They were fishermen. And they were not educated, because when they came to Jerusalem and they were together with Jesus, the Pharisees and the scribes, they started to proclaim, who are these people? They're Nazarene. They're just some silly people up from up north. And they didn't recognize them at all as people with serious business. They just pushed them away in their thoughts. And even later on, after Jesus had disappeared, went home, and the disciples started preaching. No, they were called apostles. And they were brought in before the Sanhedrin. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they just beat them all over. First with words, and later on with whips. Because they wanted to forbid them to speak anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And they said, those guys from Nazareth, they ain't worth nothing. They're just confusing the people. But they were really speaking out of a revelatory understanding of the Word of God. And the Pharisees couldn't catch it. So therefore, I don't disgrace a dignitary, a smart man, an educated person. But educated person doesn't always mean spiritual person. That will show as you go. All right. So here we are facing different situations. And now let us move up to our own day. Because in our own day, as I mentioned, here is a man that finally got satisfied. And he said, it cannot be possible that Brother Branham was a messenger. He could not be Elijah for the Gentiles. He even stated, there cannot be an Elijah for the Gentiles. It's only for the Jews. And in one of our conventions in Norway, the very man rose up and he gave a short testimony that he did not anymore believe in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6 as a Gentile experience. It can only pertain to the Jews. And I heard people in the congregation saying, amen. And I got the shock of my life. I said, why are we sitting here in a convention believing in a message that we don't believe in? Because that's what it ends up to. Hey, be aware of how you say amen and what you say amen to. Right? Don't fall asleep and like, and when you hear someone and say, amen, amen, right? You might say amen in the wrong place, right? So make sure that you are watching what you hear. And then you, because later on, whatever you kind of verify, you will be put in charge. Question, and you will have a responsibility to it. All right. So therefore, when this man said that, I just said, well, this man cannot really represent the gospel in a revelatory way anymore. He's just what you would call a Pentecostal guy. Or Baptist or whatever, with a denominational thinking about the scriptures. All right. So, but I was faced with that at a young state of life. And of course, when I heard that, I had to search the scriptures. Because if you say, this is God, then we know God doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can't change him. But you can change. Right? So therefore, as you read on, you may grow in knowledge, in wisdom, and something might change in your life as you progress in the walk with the Lord. That's normal, because if you have been a Catholic or another denominational person, this is a room that has walls, and you may come to a wall. There are understandings in the scriptures that you want to face, you want to look in the Bible, and you want to believe it. But some people have already set up frames and walls. You cannot believe any more than this. If you do that, you're not welcome here anymore. So therefore, some people, they put up a hindrance and a blockage. And I met them. I met the blockages. But it did not take away my faith in the Lord. I just had to find out, what would I want to do with my life? Would I serve him faithfully according to what other people say? Or would I serve him faithfully towards what I experience in the spirit? And of course, I choose to do that. Because when I'm going to meet my Lord, he will say, what did I tell you and what did you do with what I revealed to you? Right? So you are really responsible for the things He opens up to you in your spirit. All right. So then when we come up to the up through the Bible, and we ended up in chapter 10 in the book of Revelation, and we stated in the first verses in chapter 10, and I ended up last night in verse 7. We jumped a little in the chapter to let us see that this angel that was standing on the sea and on land, that is a figurative language, because it doesn't stand by a beach and just put one toe in the ocean and the other leg stands on dry land. It is really talking about an angel of the Lord that speaks to people of all nations, and the sea, ocean, has very often in the Bible been expressed as people. Yeah, water, people. But also sand, because sometimes the Bible says, even if the amount of people are as the sand on the beach, only a remnant will be left. So here, sand also represents numbers of people. So ocean, hey, you look up in the ocean and you say, oh, that's a vast territory. You cannot count the gallons of water that is there. And sometimes when you, if you take up sand from the beach, are you going to start counting it? Every little corn of sand? You know you'll never be able to count it and count it right. So therefore, it's just an expression that God covers everything. Nothing is left behind. And when He starts to express Himself, He will then inspire people so that they can understand the will of God. All right. But let me go back to verse 7 so I don't use all night to build up for verse 7. Okay? It says here, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, the sounding of the seventh angel. Last night we expressed that man will never be an angel. Right? Man is man. In creation, God made angels. And they were created before man was formed. They were not created before man was formed in the mind of God, but on the face of earth. Because there is a prehistoric world where angels already were administrating things. All right. But in Adam's garden and in our world that come out of the Garden of Eden, angel had gone through a test a long time ago. So all the angels that are in function, none of them are really dead yet. But back in the prehistoric world, the angelic world had their test. And 2/3 of the angelic world choose to be administrated under God. But 1/3 of the angels, they choose to be administrated under Lucifer. So there was a separation way before Adam's Garden of Eden. And when you read Revelation chapter 12, I think it is verse 7. You don't need to look it up, but you back there, you can bring it out there probably. But it speaks from verse 4 through verse 7 that 1/3, or should be 1/3 of the angelic world was cast out. And when you have 1/3, then you must also have two-thirds, right? So the evil rank is one-third of the angelic masses. And now we're not talking about how many angels there are. Three-thirds, how many are they? The Bible doesn't really say it in a specific number. In the scriptures, you might find out that there are hundreds of thousands of angels or millions of angels. All right, just leave it like that. Remember now, we say that we are about 7 billion people on earth today, but we actually don't know the exact number, just approximately. All right, so here, when an angel is speaking and he is sounding, that has been a little tricky feeling around the word angel. Because William Branham, he has at some times been mentioned as an angel. Well, people that have been around a while, they find out that there's a lot of expressions. William Branham has been mentioned almost as Jesus Christ. He is the Christ for the end time, as Christ was the Christ at the beginning when he died on Calvary. But remember, William Branham was a sinner saved by grace. Jesus Christ was not. But Jesus Christ got filled with the Holy Ghost after he was baptized by John the Baptist. And William Branham and you and I are also filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. About Jesus Christ, when you read about him in St. John, the Lord did not give Jesus the Spirit according to measure. That's why you also read in Colossians that he received the fullness of the Godhead. Right? So when he received the Spirit of God, he received it in its fullness. And in Matthew chapter 28, it reads that to me is given all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority. When you and I start working with the Lord, are we given all authority? Not all authority. We are given the Spirit. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, I believe it is. We are given the Spirit according to the measure of faith. That means the Lord calls us and he puts a certain calling and a certain work that we are to accomplish. And he makes sure that we have all the authority and the spiritual power to complete the mission of our life. Right? But we have it according to measure. And God has measured that out before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, he didn't have the Spirit according to measure. But he got it in its fullness. So there is a difference between Jesus Christ and us. But he is still our father of faith. He is still our brother because he is the firstborn among brethren. Right? Jesus Christ was really not the firstborn, but he was given the birthright because he obeyed in all things. And when you look back in the Bible, the Old Testament, you find out that the firstborn was not always given the first birthright. That's why you have Jacob and Esau. Esau was elder. Well, he was probably only about 10 minutes older. They were twins, but Jacob inherited because he believed. And Esau, he lost it because he did not really favor spiritual walk. All right, and you have other people the very same way. Remember, Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob's tribe, but he was not given the right because he did an awful sin among his brethren. He went into his father's wife. He didn't go into his mother, but to his stepmother, right? And when he did that, he lost the first birthright. And it was given down to Judah. So Judah became the son that would carry the trail down to Jesus Christ. So that has happened before. The firstborn among brethren is given because of honesty and fulfilling of God's will. Hey, so keep doing God's will. Very important. All right. So, when it says, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. Last night I just stated, William Branham is really not the seventh angel. He is the key man that God chose. He is the seventh messenger. But he is an earthly character, an earthly being. And he will never be an angel in that respect. He is always a brother. But the seventh angel, who is that one? Well, that is the one who inspires Brother Branham. But he doesn't only inspire Brother Branham. He inspires every person who is yielding to God and wanting to express the inspirational part that comes under the period of the work of the seventh angel. Right? Just go back a few years. You have Martin Luther. Who inspired him? It was not the seventh angel. It was the fifth. Right? Because it was the fifth period, the fifth church age, and it had an angel that was inspiring that season of time. And you don't call Martin Luther an angel. It's only William Branham that has received the title angel of someone, the seventh angel. But remember, you have to be consistent in your thought. If Brother Branham was the seventh angel, then John Wesley was the sixth. And Martin Luther was the fifth angel, right? So when you push an angelic title on a person, then down the road you have to go back and adjust everything into angels. Then Paul is an angel. Irenaeus is an angel. Polycarp. Or, you know, down Columba and down. But there were angels inspiring them. Because those seven angels, they're still angels. And their job is not yet fully completed yet. All the seven angels will still have a job to do. We'll come back to that. Because they're going to inspire seven individuals in the day that you and I am living in. Hey, we got something coming. I don't know if people really are ready and prepared for the excitement maybe pressure. Remember, when God starts revealing himself, the world will cause more pressure on you. But God will compensate with more depth and insight in spiritual affairs. So don't worry. He is closer to you than the world ever will be. So when pressure comes, he is there to compensate for the pressure. All right. So when the seventh angel is in action, and he has been in action under the Laodicean church age. Some people say the Laodicean church age is over now. But the Laodicean church is not over. It is not over till it is over. Every person that is going to be included in the Laodicean church age have to be fully tested, because my Bible says about the Laodicean church age that to him who overcome, I will give him to sit in my throne, in my government, and rule and reign with the Lord. And remember, after William Branham died, I was just 16 years old when he passed away. And I hadn't even started thinking about the Lord yet. 1 year later, I heard the voice of the Lord for the first time. So I can guarantee you, God did not stop speaking in 1965. He spoke in 66, 67, 68, 2014, 2015. He's still speaking. Yeah. So when people say it's over now, there is nothing more, that is really a lie. There is more. Praise the Lord. And when the seventh angel started, when did the seventh angel start to speak? He started to speak in the Laodicean church age, because that is his age. Hey, if you take seven angels and you line them up, right? And when the sixth church age is over, then the sixth angel, he will say to the seventh, now it's your time, right? And the seventh angel steps in on the scene and he starts taking charge over the time element that is called the Laodicean church age. And he starts to inspire. I'll tell you, Azusa Street, who was inspiring the people over in Los Angeles? It must have been the seventh angel. That was the opening of the season called the Laodicean church age. So that angelic being can not only be secluded and narrowed down to William Branham's ministry. I hope you understand that. Remember when he preached the seven church ages and he came up with the understanding of the seven angels in Revelation chapter 1. What did he say about those angels? And what did he say about the earthly vessels? Because he felt those angels, they were inspiring the people. But there were some of the people that took the inspiration more seriously than others. Hey, look around you today. You have to admit, some people are more serious about the Word of God than others. Some people just say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, oh yeah, I'm born again. But they don't say much more and don't even care. Just that security, born again, born again, born again. And, well, what about Revelation chapter 4, 5, 6? I'm born again. I don't know anything else. I'm just born again. Right? But some people are so hungry. When they get stung by the Spirit, inspired, they start dipping in the Word of God. Start exploring. Say, Lord, speak to me. Show me. Let me understand my own day. That was one of the biggest issues in my life when I started out. Because I didn't have a Christian upbringing. Of course, my parents brought me to the priest and had me sprinkled. But it didn't change me. I just got a wet hair for a few seconds. And they never told about Jesus the rest of my young life. Right? So that very often happens in families. Yeah. So when I started really understanding that God wants to lead us, inspire us, I said, Lord, I'm hungry for this. I want to know. I want to see my own day, what you got for us. Because you got something for other people in other seasons. So therefore there must be something today also. You didn't leave us out of the picture in our day. We're not going to walk around here void of knowledge and just hope that we're doing the right thing. No, God will inspire us to do the right thing. And then, when those inspirational ministering spirits start to operate on earth, I believe I was born again under the administration of the seventh angel. Laodicean Church Age. Hey, I didn't know it then. Had no clue what a seventh angel was. I just said, well, there's probably angels out there. But when you start studying, you start finding out, my, there's more here. I am included. I'm involved. I'm included in the great gospel. The challenge that the Lord has for the human race, He put me in here for a reason. And then when I started out, and I started hearing, to jump up to our day, about William Branham, that he was the seventh angel. I said in my heart, there is something here that really doesn't fit the whole picture. There must be more to it. And then when you start really to go into some details, as we said, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. And it says, when he is about to sound. Well, when is he about to sound? Was it in 1933? Because then there was an angelic being who spoke to Brother Branham. And I also read his testimony in 1963. He was in Arizona, Sabino Canyon. He was up in the mountains. And suddenly he saw this cloud. And it had a shape. Everybody have probably seen the picture where William Branham saw a face. Really what he saw a ring of angels. And he testified he was pulled up in the middle of the ring of angels. And he even said, I saw seven angels. I counted them from right to the left. That's his own testimony. You can read in his experiences. I counted them from right to the left. And when I came to the seventh of them, he was the one who approached me. And he spoke to me and said, go back to Indiana and speak of the seven seals. And when he heard the angel speaking, he said, that was the sound that he had heard through his Christian experience. The seventh angel. I believe the seventh angel spoke in 33, yeah. He spoke in 63. And he keeps speaking still. But that seventh angel, when he was given the torch, just a figurative way of saying it, right? Have you seen people, they're going to lit the Olympic fire, and they get a torch, and they go to a place where the fire was started. And then they travel around, they run with this torch, and when they have run so many miles, then there's another one with a torch waiting. And they take that fire and lit the new torch, same flame, and the next man starts running. And they may have 100 or 200 people or even more people running with a torch. But it is the same flame till they reach the stadium where they're going to have the competition. And then they take that torch up in a bathtub and filled with oil, and it is lit, and the fire and the game starts. All right? So the seven angels have had the same flame. And when the seventh angel received the flame to carry on the message and the work to finalize everything from beginning to end, that one started really inspiring people as far back as before William Branham was even born. So we have a saying among Christians that when it comes to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is as old as the day of Pentecost, when the church was born in the first place, but people started acting different and otherwise, and then that flame of the infilling of the Holy Ghost got lost on the way. So people had to have a renewal, an experience, a revival, and really it blasted and bursted out in the time of Azusa Street in Los Angeles in approximately 1906. There were people filled with the Holy Ghost before then. I believe there have always been some people filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But then the inspirational part of the infilling of the Holy Ghost started getting known to the common man again. So it left the secrets society and got into the display of the common people. So when you are looking politely and correct at verse 7, when he is sounding, he has been sounding all the time from the start of the Laodicean church age. But as I mentioned last night, when you go to the Bible and in the Bible you have different translations, and I will repeat that part so that we have a basic to go on, because we're not just going to tell you things that doesn't have any backup in the scriptures. Because when I read about John, the Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 in my Norwegian Bible, it had an addition of understanding. Yes, it says that the angel will sound, but it also says something extra. It says, when he shall blow the trumpet. So therefore, when we go to some other scriptures. Let's see here. In chapter 10, verse 7. Let's see. It is not lost. It's just when I write notes, I write too much. I never say half of what I write. But that's because it takes time. All right. I said in the New Living Translation, Revelation 10:7, when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, and everyone that has a familiar, should we say, understanding of the blowing of a trumpet, they will immediately kind of trigger a blowing on a trumpet until the changing of the people, the dead come alive, and the alive becomes transformed into immortality. That is what people think about when they and that's connected to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18, the last part of the fourth chapter. There is a sounding of a trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, that means now it's time to wake up. But not to wake up to the Laodicean church age, but for the dead in Christ to wake up. And for the living to be changed. What are you walking around waiting on? Isn't it the transformation of your body? I have noticed when people get older, well, they're hoping that the Lord will come soon, quickly. When you're about to get married, when you're very young, some people might say, well, I hope you don't come yet because I'm in love. I want to get married. I want to enjoy life. Right? But when you get 70, 80, 90 years old, you say, Lord, come quickly. Right? Because you want to be changed before you go to the grave. You don't like graves. You don't like the word dying. That has an effect on all of us. But death will come to everyone, except when that angel blows the trumpet. That's when things are going to be different. And you might be 95 years old and walk like this, and in a twinkle of an eye, you straighten out, your face is changed, your hair is back on your head, and you are a handsome guy around 20, 25 years old, and you wonder, oh, what happened now? Oh! But now, you are in a different stage. You have put on immortality. And you're not going to walk around here on the street so angulous with that knowledge at very long at all. However long, God only knows. I won't put any dates or seconds on it. Because it says also, the dead in Christ shall rise. So the people that you put in the grave lately, one day they might tap you on your shoulder. I'm back. Yeah. And that's because it's just about time to be caught in the air. Yeah. But don't just go around and wait for someone to tap on your back now. Right? It's just a figurative of speech. I hope you understand that part. All right. So, the seventh angel He starts to sound with his voice and inspiration at the beginning of the Laodicean church age. And he finalizes the church age by blowing the trumpet. So when people say, it's over now, you may have to ask them, have you heard the sound of the trumpet? Are you changed? Right? Because you are going to take on immortality. So the seventh angel has a great job to do. But he's going to inspire and speak until it's time to blow the trumpet. So therefore, I'll repeat it again. The New English Translation, when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, then God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. Right? And all the apostles, when they got the message, and especially Paul, he said that the church ages and everything, and he didn't talk about the seven church ages, that was John, the revelator, who did. But Paul said, we have a great mission until the angel blows the trumpet. Then the church age is final, finalized. Then the job is done. But remember now, the job is done for the body of Christ that's going to be caught in the air. There is more prophetic words, and there is a longer future before the world than only the trumpet. The trumpet is the body of Christ. And after the trumpet, we will have the 70th week of Daniel. Right? Remember now, when I say, because you might say, the age of the Gentiles and the 70th week of Daniel, where are they going to be in time? Is it going to be like this? So the day after the trumpet, then starts the 70th week. God never really specified the ending of the Gentile age and the beginning of the 70th week in numbers of weeks and years, where it stops and where it starts. It could be an overlapping, right? But the Bible doesn't really say. But people might have this feeling it could be an overlapping, and it could be that it stops when the other starts. Right? Because some people try to figure, calculate, because they want a certain assurance. You might say, well, when I see the two prophets in Israel, then I know we're getting close. But if you're going to look for the two prophets, you may be late. You see two prophets, but you don't see any of the bride left. Where did they go? Where are they? You see? So don't look for something and be slack on the other. Because I'm going to sharpen my spiritual life when I see the two prophets. That could be too late. Okay? But you're not going to do that if you're fully born again. If you repented or baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost, you will not calculate up the days and months far away. You will say, Lord, inspire me now. Make me ready now. Let me be alert at all times. Let me always have oil on my lamp and in my bottle, ready to do your will. Then you are on the safe side. Not just to play it safe, but you are on God's side. You chose to be led by His Spirit at all times. The ESV translation says, but in the days of the trumpet's call to be sounded. And I tell you, the trumpet call to be sounded did not start at the Laodicean church age. Because then all mystery of God should be finished by then. By the beginning of the Laodicean church age. You can't say that. Because the beginning of the Laodicean churches was really the restoration of the born-again experience in its third stage, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's when the Holy Ghost got established in the mind and the spiritual insight in God's people. Before Azusa Street, very few people really knew about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And the people who lived back in those days, they said that the real spiritual experience of Azusa Street really only lasted about 3 to 4 months. But the effect of Azusa Street went around the globe for many years. But after 3-4 months, people started taking control of everything. I can tell you, you have a revival, and it won't be long, someone comes to control it. Because they want to benefit from it. It's almost like, what's in it for me? And they want to grab authority and take charge over people. That's the sadness of things in the world today. But you just walk closely with the Lord. And then I use this and the Norwegian Bible as when I read it, because that is what started me years back when I saw, but in the days when the seventh angel's voice are going to be heard. And it says, when he is blowing the trumpet. So the Norwegian Bible and about 4 or 5 translations in the English. I don't know what your Tagalog Bible says. Does it say a trumpet in your Tagalog Bible? Well, I don't know. If it does, then you're half Norwegian. All right. So that tells me the Spirit of the Lord is now in the beginning of the Laodicean church age announcing and unleashing all a mystery. Well, remember, mystery is something that have been there all the time. And in the Bible, when you read, you will find out that the apostles, they knew the mystery of God. But the people today, when they're thinking about the mystery in the way that Brother Branham is really the mystery, then they are putting a different view and understanding on the mystery at all. The mystery is the prophet. But brothers and sisters, the mystery itself is not the prophet. Really, the mystery is the church. What is the church? It's the born-again believer. It is the born-again experience. The Jews, They had the Word of God, they had the prophets, and they were, the prophets were telling Israel a lot of things, but Israel never really listened to their prophets. That's why they were persecuted, killed, and all that stuff. They didn't want them prophets. Because when Adam failed and sinned in the Garden of Eden, he was supposed to eat of the tree of life. And the tree of life itself was really the secret or the mystery of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? So the tree of life is a spiritual law that was to enter into Adam. Adam got the gift of life from God, but he left something out, and he had to leave it out. Adam needed to make a choice. Right? He gave man a free will. Therefore, he did not put eternal life into Adam so that Adam would live eternally before he was tested. Then he sinned, and God stopped him from taking part of the tree of life so that he could not get filled with the Holy Ghost. And between Adam and Jesus Christ, nobody was filled with the Holy Ghost. The covenant of being filled with the Holy Ghost was lost with Adam and regained through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was the first person who was ever filled with the Holy Ghost entirely. Adam and Eve didn't get it. And you say, but what about Moses and Abraham and all of them? Hey, God spoke to them, blessed them, and all that stuff. But they could not be filled with the Holy Ghost because Adam broke the golden rule. He sinned against God and brought mortality in. Right? So then Jesus came and he fulfilled. He waited 30 years. He was a perfect Son of God for 30 years without the Holy Spirit. But he stayed away from everything that he wasn't supposed to do. And at the time when he was 30 years old then, God inspired him and said, now, my son, it's time to go down to Jordan to meet John the Baptist. And Jesus said, okay. And he went down. He met John the Baptist, who had received a message from on high. Him whom you see, the Holy Spirit come over, that's the one. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ came down to the river, and when John saw him, he said, I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, no. Let us complete it as it is prophesied in the scriptures. And John baptized Jesus, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon him. And in the shape of a dove, John could see by a manifestation, this is the right Messiah. When he later was in prison, of course he was defeated, he was sorry, grieved, and he sent his disciples and said, are you really the one that's going to come? And Jesus just repeated and said, just behold what is happening. Go back and tell John, we raised the dead, the sick are healed, and we are preaching the gospel of mercy. So, and then John will know, because that's the original message that he received. Remember, the Bible says John was filled with the Spirit of God. And some people say he was filled with the Holy Ghost, just as the people on the day of Pentecost. but he was not. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And of course he was anointed by God. God's Spirit worked on him. But the covenant of grace could not come upon him until the price was paid. Jesus Christ had to seal the covenant with giving his life, shedding his blood. Then the redeeming process was completed, fulfilled. And the people from no one could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus said to the disciples after he resurrected. And he said, go to Jerusalem, wait there until the Spirit comes and fills you. Then you shall be my witness and go out and preach the word. So Jesus Christ was the first person who received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is really the seal of God who brings eternal life into a person. And the wonderful thing is that you and I, or Peter, James, and John, they could be fused with the Spirit of God even in their sinful state. That is what the covenant opened up the way for. You and I, aren't we sinners? Are we filled with the Holy Ghost? How can we be filled with the Holy Ghost and be sinners? Right? That is because Jesus Christ paid the price. And when we believe in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, repented, then He seals us with the Holy Spirit. And we will live eternally. Our body will still get older, more wrinkles, stronger glasses, losing our teeth. The hair goes. We need crutches. We need a wheelchair. We need a bed. And finally, we give up the ghost. But that is just the deterioration of the mortal body. Inwardly, you're 20 years old. Right, sister? Anyone here that are 80 and feel like they're 20? Right? I wish I could jump as high as my mind wants me to jump. But I can't do it. I'll break a leg. So therefore that tells me I better watch it. Rolf, don't act like you're 20. Right? Even a step like this, I'll say, I'll have to watch it. Yeah. But inside, I'm still young. And soon, the Lord will change my body. And I'll be young again, also physically. Okay. So, you know, time flies. My wife said, do you know how long you preached last night? I said, did I preach long? Almost 2 hours. Right? Yeah. And everybody would say, amen. Yeah. Hey, I don't intend to keep you long. But there's something inside that keeps pressing, pressing, pushing, pushing. And I don't know where to stop. All right. But do you get the picture tonight? The angel has been sounding since the opening of the Laodicean church age. The seventh angel got the torch from the sixth. Say, you go on. And the seventh has been going on. And of course, he is the administrator of all the serving spirits that is needed to complete the job for every true believer across the globe. He works in Norway, Philippines, Africa, US, wherever it is. There is no stopping, and there is not a place on earth where he won't hear a cry. And of course, Jesus Christ is the high priest. He still has all authority. Nothing happens unless he wants it. But so the seventh angel is really answering to the high priest, Jesus Christ. Right? So there are ranks in heavenly dimensions. But I won't go too much into details because I really don't know all the details. Right? But I know Jesus Christ as a high priest, and I know this angel is a very important one. But there are more angels involved, and that will help out before it's all over. That's the wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. So, he sounds, and when it says he's about to sound, well, we are now reading the scripture with the knowledge of 2015. When the word was given, it was 2,000 years up the road till the fulfillment of things. I hope you understand that, right? John got the message. And I believe that John, when he got the message, he was taken up in a spiritual dimension. And he was brought. The Lord took him on a tour in time. So John, the apostle, was brought and he could see the different stages that was going to happen. Maybe he didn't know how to express it. He could not express it with our day's understanding. He had to express it with his day's understanding. And that's why the types and the pictures are a little different than what we see today. He could not say Facebook. Right? He could not say SMS. Probably couldn't even say SM over on Clark. So, but he was brought in the spirit so he could see the development and the progress of things happening. And when he saw the seventh angel about to sound, to him, it looked like a short space of time from 1906. Six, and up to 2,000 and something. Right? Because he has already seen almost 2,000 years of prophetic scenery. Yeah. But he saw the angel about to sound, and then he saw the final part of it when he blows the trumpet. And the only thing we need to establish in our mind and our spirit, that angel has not yet blown the trumpet. Because as long as we are under what we call the grace age, but remember, there is grace through all ages. There was grace even in the Old Testament. And there's grace in the Great Tribulation. Because there's people going to come out of the Great Tribulation and the Lord will say, blessed are you! I've been through the Great Tribulation. How can you say blessed? Right? I can say it because I protected you. Hey, Holocaust was a tragic moment. But some people got preserved. Even if 6 million Jews suffocated, there were still leftovers who are still alive and can give reference to the terror back in those days. They were preserved so they could give a testimony. All right, so there have been a lot of tragic. Some people under Holocaust, they said, I will not believe in God anymore because he was not in the concentration camps. I could not see God there. Other people say, I saw God in the concentration camp. Right? So it's whatever eyes who sees. And I hope that you see God in every move you make. And that you're making your moves because the Holy Spirit gives you directions. It's very important. Right? Do you understand me tonight? All right. So there is an angel about to blow a trumpet. And that trumpet is not yet activated. It's about to blow. And it will blow when all, should we say, the mystery of God is completed. When every last soul that's going to make the bride of Christ has got the information that they need. Because they're going to rule and reign in the millennium to come. My, I thank the Lord for the opportunity. So don't be ashamed or don't be, say, I wish I lived in the days of Jesus. Now, you live now. Thank God for it. You live in a challenging time, both spiritually and naturally. But God has chosen you to live right now. So therefore, look up and you say, Father, you chose me to live today. Now you have to show me how I can be pleasing in your eyes so I can do the work that you are calling me to do. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to the revelation that you put in my heart so that I can do everything that you have designed before the foundation of the world for me to do. That's the prayer I pray, and I hope you'll pray with me for the same, for your life. May the Lord bless you tonight. Be with you. There's more to come. Amen.